Good morning, everyone, for WRCO News. I'm Todd Coppernall. 75 degrees in Richland Center right now under sunny skies. The high today will be 79. Looks a lot better out there than the last few days. In the news this morning, the Richland School District Board of Education will hold its regular meeting Wednesday, July 22nd at 7 p.m. in the Richland Center High School IMC. The agenda for the evening includes a variety of financial, personnel, and policy matters. The board will review the business officials' report and consider the approval of the statement of cash and invoices. A significant portion of the meeting will focus on the consent agenda, which covers several donations from community partners, including the Medical College of Wisconsin and the Richland Foundation, as well as staffing updates such as resignations and new hires for the 2026-27 school year. The board will also address student academic standards, student handbook revisions, and open enrollment requests. In addition to consent items, the board will discuss district vacancies and appointments for the upcoming school year and receive an update on referendum projects. Action items include policy revisions, a resolution regarding the purchasing of campus property, and the assumption of the LWCF grant, and decisions concerning the referendum budget and change events. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources emphasizes the importance of proper training, supervision, and safety gear for youth before operating an ATV. Before allowing any young person to take the controls, it is essential to ensure they have the right foundation for a safe experience. This starts with education. Operators who are at least 12 years old and born on or after January 1st, 1988 must complete a DNR-approved safety education course and carry their certification while riding. Beyond formal education, parental supervision remains critical to keeping young riders safe. Lieutenant Jake Holsklaw, the Wisconsin DNR Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator, notes that parents should treat ATV and UTV safety with the same seriousness as operating a car or truck. He highlights that being present to guide a young operator can often be the deciding factor in preventing an accident, ensuring that every child returns home safely after a day on the trails. The Richland Hospital and Clinics has officially been recognized for its excellence in cardiovascular care, receiving two prestigious American Heart Association Get With the Guidelines Achievement Awards. The institution earned the Rural Coronary Artery Disease and STEMI ACS Gold and the Rural Coronary Artery Disease STEMI Silver Awards, highlighting its steadfast commitment to following the most current research-based protocols for treating heart disease. STEMI is a heart attack caused by a complete and prolonged blockage of a coronary artery, and STEMI ACS is caused by a partial or temporary blockage. Heart disease remains the leading cause of death in the United States. By adhering to evidence-based treatment guidelines, Richland Hospital aims to improve patient outcomes, support faster recovery, and significantly reduce hospital readmissions. Heather Tomey, cardiac and stroke coordinator and registered nurse, emphasize that these programs allow clinical teams to put proven science into practice daily, ensuring that patients receive timely and effective care during critical cardiac events. Karen E. Joint Maddox, chair of the American Heart Association Quality Oversight Committee, noted that these awards reflect the hospital's dedication to its community. By following the association's quality improvement protocols, the hospital is advancing a shared vision of lower mortality rates and better health results for patients and their families. This recognition underscores Richland Hospital's role as a leader in providing high-quality rural cardiovascular care. On July 9th, the Wisconsin Elections Commission unanimously approved the absentee ballot return best practices for voters to help them understand when, where, and how to return an absentee ballot. Clerks were also issued this guidance. In the state of Wisconsin, the traditional absentee ballot system is designed to be accessible and straightforward. No special reason or excuse is required. Any registered voter can simply request their ballot and begin the process. Securing a ballot is the first step in this journey, and Wisconsin provides multiple ways to do so. The most efficient method is through myvote.wi.gov, where a few digital steps trigger a notification to the local municipal clerk. Alternatively, voters can download an application and send it via mail, or even submit their request through email or fax. It is essential to remember that most requests must be accompanied by a copy of a valid photo ID, and all applications must reach the clerk by 5 p.m. on the Thursday before the election. To ensure there is ample time for the ballot to be received, completed, and returned, officials recommend making these requests as early as possible. Once the ballot is in hand and the choices are made, the focus shifts to a timely return. Voters can choose to send their completed ballots through the mail, hand deliver them directly to their municipal clerk's office, or utilize a secure drop box where available. While the mail is a convenient option, transit times can vary significantly. To avoid the risk of a ballot arriving after the 8 p.m. election day deadline, at which point it can no longer be counted, the Wisconsin Elections Commission suggests mailing it at least 10 days in advance. It is important to note that unlike some other states, Wisconsin does not rely on postmarks. The physical arrival of the ballot before the polls close is what truly matters. For those who find themselves nearing the deadline, hand delivery offers a more immediate solution. Ballots can be brought to the clerk's office prior to the election or taken directly to a central counting facility on the day of the vote itself. Drop boxes also serve as a vital resource, though their availability and hours are determined by each specific municipality. Regardless of the chosen method, voters should be aware that they must return their own ballots unless they're providing necessary assistance to a person with a disability. By following these best practices, Wisconsin voters can ensure their participation is seamless and their ballots are counted with certainty. In a decisive move to strengthen Wisconsin's healthcare future, Governor Tony Evers recently approved a transformative emergency rule designed to tackle the state's persistent nursing shortage. This initiative, born from the strategic insights of the governor's task force on the healthcare workforce, marks a significant shift in how nursing students are trained. By allowing experienced registered nurses who meet specific clinical criteria to step into the role of clinical instructors, the state is effectively expanding its educational capacity. This new pathway ensures that the wealth of practical knowledge held by Wisconsin's veteran nurses can be directly passed down to the next generation, removing longstanding academic barriers and ensuring that the healthcare system remains robust and prepared for the challenges ahead. Wisconsin experienced 6.6 days suitable for field work for the week ending July 19th, according to the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. The period was marked by wildfire smoke that blanketed the state for several days, creating difficult conditions for outdoor agricultural work. Additionally, a lack of recent precipitation in many areas has begun to cause visible stress to crops, although soil moisture levels across the state remain generally adequate, with topsoil and subsoil moisture both rated at 75% adequate. In terms of crop development, corn silking reached 23% completion, slightly behind the five-year average of 26%. Soybeans are progressing well, with 62% blooming, which is ahead of the 54% average, and 16% of the crop is setting pods. Small grain harvesting is also underway. The oat harvest has reached 10%, while winter wheat is 29% harvested, notably ahead of the 19% five-year average. Forage activities continue at a steady pace, with the second cutting of alfalfa hay now 86% complete, surpassing the average of 82%. The third cutting has also commenced and is 12% complete. Despite the dry conditions, all hay was rated 76% in good to excellent condition, and pasture and range conditions were rated at 61% good to excellent. Vital statistics right after this.